Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We appreciate you listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up next Wednesday, go ahead and save this in your phone. Our very own Josh Vernier will be hosting a very special Royals preview show called The Sprint to 60. It will be from 12 to 2 during the midday show with Cody and Gold. I'm actually thinking about asking for me to be included in this because since I am Hope Harrison, I feel that all Royals preview shows should include me. You know, if you're going to be Hope Harrison, you got to take this message elsewhere. I can't just spread it from 2 to 6. I got to spread it from 10 to 2. I got to spread it on television. I got to spread it in the newspapers. I got to spread it on the internet. I'm here sharing hope and optimism about your Kansas City Royals.
Better spread your hope than spread the COVID, although I'll believe in the hope. Give me a week. Just let them get off to a 4-3 start, get back to Kauffman Stadium, and then I'm on board. But until then, it's just the Royals. Come on, man.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, over the course of the last few months, I don't think there has been a correct amount of appreciation given to some things in society that we have spent more time with during this time of quarantine and social distancing. I want to give them their credit. We'll do that coming up in about 10 minutes. But you wanted to make a comparison between the Royals, Kansas City, and the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, speaking of maybe something that doesn't get enough credit, so those Royals teams in 14 and 15 were unbelievable, and we can point to having the best bullpen in the history of baseball, and we can point to the base running and the defense and a pretty good lineup. But if you really break it down with the fine-tooth comb, I don't think that team had any Hall of Famers, and I'm not sure that team really had any borderline Hall of Famers. I guess you could argue that Salvador Perez has an outside chance of ending up in Cooperstown. I suppose that maybe Wade Davis. Now, it's hard for a guy that started his career as a middle reliever and then probably is going to be a closer for 6 or 7 years to end up in Cooperstown, but not really a lot of Hall of Famers. And they went on to win, of course, one World Series and went to two of them. The only reason I bring up that team is because we just had on Chipper Jones, and I was thinking his team also won only one World Series. But everybody's going to look back to the 1990s and say the Braves were the best team. People are going to look back at the Royals run and say, yeah, they caught lightning in the bottle there for a couple of years. But the truth is, they both have won World Series. It's kind of crazy to think how different they did it.
But to be fair, though, I mean, the Braves run is better than the Royals run.
Longer, much longer. The Braves won.
That matters, though. I mean, the longevity of it. I mean, to play an entire decade and go to the World Series five times is an accomplishment. This is where those things that, to me, and I'm not saying the championship isn't the end-all, be-all. I mean, having the run that the Braves did for a 14-year span is damn impressive. I mean, you would say KU's run is pretty impressive. They only have one championship during that run of 14. Like, I don't think we should diminish it. Is it the same as the Yankees run, who certainly had a better 90s? Is it as good as a run as the San Francisco Giants just went on, where they went to multiple World Series, or the Red Sox, where they've won theirs? No, I don't think you put it in that category. But I also don't want to diminish it and say they only won one. They went to the World Series 5 out of 10 years. That's a tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah, it's something in between what the Buffalo Bills did and those runs that you were just talking about. It's not the Giants winning 3 of 7 World Series, or it's not the Yankees winning 3 of 7 World Series back in the 90s. It's basically a team that had a ton of talent that, the truth is, was underwhelming and underachieved. Getting to a championship is great, but when we start talking about the best quarterbacks of all time, nobody brings up the name Jim Kelly. Guess what? If he would have won 2 more games that were called the Super Bowl game, and he just goes 2-2, but then we talk about him in a completely different light. So when you think about a team that had Chipper Jones and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux. I'm going to keep going. David Justice, Terry Pendleton, this top of the dome, Fred McGriff, Andrew Jones. What's my boy's name in the outfield with the big arm? Ron Gant. Like, that team was absolutely stacked, and four or five of those guys are already in the Hall of Fame. You think about Chipper and Smoltz and Glavine and Maddux. So, yeah, I'm not comparing the Royals to that team. All I'm saying is both ended up winning one World Series, and one of the teams had four or five Hall of Famers, and one of them was a big mix-up of guys that had career years that are now on different rosters. It's crazy to think that history is going to tell us that both teams were one-time World Series champions.
I look at it like this. Sometimes the teams you play in these are just better than you are. And I don't think we ever really give that enough credit. So three times in the 90s, the Braves played the Yankees in the World Series. Man, the Yankees were just better than them. And it kind of got me thinking as we kind of look ahead to Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if they're going to be in that situation a whole lot. Like, I don't know if they're going to, like, let's say Mahomes goes to five of these Super Bowls. I don't think we're going to go into three of them thinking that the other team is clearly better than the Kansas City Chiefs, where in these series, I think it was kind of obvious that the Yankees were better than the Atlanta Braves. Like, they were the team of the 90s. They had the more complete rotation. They had the better bullpen because of Mariano Rivera. And their pitching staff, while they didn't have the Hall of Fame talent, you can maybe say was a little bit deeper than those Brave teams. Like, sometimes there's, like, you're a great team and you just go up against a great team. That I think the hope for the next 10 years for the Kansas City Chiefs is you're going to always be at the top of the mountain. You'll be the Patriots. You'll be the Yankees. You'll be the Warriors. You'll be the Bulls in this scenario, that it might be a really good number two team or number three or number four, but you're just going to be clearly more talented than those rosters.
But if you're the Bulls team that you were just talking about from the 90s and they won that first championship, who'd they beat the first time? Was it the Blazers?
Mm-hmm.
If they beat the Blazers, then the next year they get there and face the Lakers, and Magic's team ends up winning, and then they never get back and win another one. Jordan's not Michael Jordan. All those teams that you just said, like, we look back at the great teams not because they won a championship, or the great players because they won a championship. Think about Peyton Manning. The second that he won that first Super Bowl against the Bears, the next day it was, well, all right, now you got to win another one if you're going to go down as one of the all-time greats. I think that that's where it's crazy to think after just a couple of seasons, Pat and the Chiefs have already gotten to where, I'm not saying anybody's forgotten about or poo-pooing the one Super Bowl they've already won, but when you give a guy 12 more years and $500 million, it's expected they have a much, much more successful run than a Jim Kelly or a Chipper Jones did when it comes to actually winning championships.
But I also think it's unfair, I guess, to the Braves. There aren't many historical comparisons of a team that only wins one, but also goes a bunch too. You're typically like Drew Brees, where you go to the one and then that's the only one that you go to.
So do you pat him on the back or hold against him, though?
You went to the World Series. I don't think that's a pat on the back. Like, this is one of those things. Like, now I'm just saying is, as a city who saw what it was like to go to the World Series and end up runner up, we didn't poo-poo that and pat it on the back. You went to the World Series.
But you've been laughing all day that Masvidal got his ass kicked. He had to get to a championship fight. Fighting for the belt is not an easy thing. So just putting yourself in that scenario is impressive. We look at the champion completely different.
I also don't watch UFC either, so I just have no frame of reference. Like, I might make fun of Mike Tyson and say that he's overrated. At one point, he was the greatest heavyweight champion of the world. Like, that's a tremendous accomplishment. Again, to go to the World Series 5 out of 10 years in a decade, let's not make it seem like the Braves were disappointing. Do you wish you had gotten more out of your run? Certainly. But doing that is a run that not many teams are able to match.
What if the Chiefs do that? What if Pat goes to 5 Super Bowls in the next 12 years and only wins one? You, me, everybody said, well, he's probably going to win 2, 3, 4. I've said 5 of these things. Wouldn't you look back on that and say it was a disappointment?
Yeah, I would look at it as a disappointment too, but I don't think... I don't have them winning as many as you do. So maybe that's the difference of it. Like, I think 3 is probably the ceiling of it. So I've always been a little bit more on the low end because I understand how hard it is to amass that level of success at the highest level. Like, think about it, man. It's a razor thin margin. Brady could have 3 of these things or have 8 of them. If a couple play, if Adam Vinatieri, if one of his kick goes left, if David, like, it's so many little things that put you in that context where I think we put, as oddly as it sounds, way too much emphasis. Like, you love Bill Self. Do you think Bill Self is a different coach if Mario Chalmers misses? Like, just based on what you think Bill Self is.
Yeah.
I assume you think he's the best coach in college basketball. Is that only because Mario Chalmers made the shot?
Oh, I don't think he's the best in college basketball. I think he's probably top 5 or 6. And yes, I mean, that's how we judge our athletes and coaches. You're looked at differently if you win a Andy Reid. Andy Reid can say that he doesn't feel any different or outsiders look at him any different, but the truth is now the first line on his resume is Super Bowl winning head coach. Winning the championship is so much different than getting there.
Yeah, and I just think that we as a society put way too much emphasis on it, and I don't think we
I completely agree, but it is what it is.
And I would say we don't give enough credit for going to the Super Bowl. And again, there aren't many. Maybe Elway's the only one. You went to five of them and only won two. Most people are like Russell Wilson. You go to two and you only won the one. I don't think Russell's going to another one. Most are like Aaron Rodgers. Most are like Drew Brees. There isn't really the Jim Kelly that goes to five but only gets the one. Like, there aren't really too many people that fit in that category.
I actually completely agree with you on this one. Like, as a society, we do judge the team that wins the championship way, way, way too differently than we do the team that loses it. But that's how it's always been. I mean, if you made me list all the guys that won the Heisman Trophy or won the MVP, I could give you a good list. If you wanted the runner-up, the guy that came in next, I don't know. That's how we do. If you win a championship, you're held in this esteem. And if you lose it four times in a row, you're called Jim Kelly.
Coming up next, over the last 3 months, I have gained a greater appreciation for things around me. I'll tell you what those are coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the Washington football team changing their nickname and what that could potentially mean for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to do an exercise as a family. 913-576-7610. Because I think all of us have been in the exact same situation over these last 3 or 4 months. The quarantine, the virus has made us appreciate things in a much different light. Things that seemed very important before all of this now seem very trivial. It's about spending time with your family. It's about keeping you and your loved ones healthy. All of those kind of things. I have gained a different level of appreciation for a few things that I like to share them with you. And I want you guys to do the same. 913-576-7610. Number one is Purell hand sanitizer. In a pre-coronavirus day, I didn't really show Purell a whole lot of love. It was just something you picked up at Dollar Tree. You know, it was always at the front desk when you go there. You might just get you a little squirt. But I never really used too many other types of hand sanitizers. But now we see all these different hand sanitizers. We're starting to see buildings. They put up little dispensers right when you walk in the door. Have you used a lot of this new hand sanitizer that's not Purell? Either it's really liquidy, and I'm not really sure if I'm getting proper sanitation the way that I need, or it just stinks. Purell used to have that scent. It didn't really smell like anything. It didn't really linger. You guys know what I'm talking about. A lot of these fake hand sanitizers that have been popping up to make money off the coronavirus, they're not that good. You always talk about the gap that exists between Patrick Mahomes and the other quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what we're seeing right now. And this hand sanitizer game, there's a gap between Purell and everybody else that makes hand sanitizer. Purell is the Patrick Mahomes of hand sanitation.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just want the classic stuff. I want the clear stuff with very little scent, or the kind, if you're going to give me the green kind that has the aloe vera or whatever, that I can do that too. As long as it's not an overwhelming scent, that's why I've got my Abercrombie Woods cologne. Yes, I still use Abercrombie Woods cologne, so sue me. If I want to smell good, I'm not using my hand sanitizer, and sure as hell not that liquid stuff that you're talking about. What is that? That's just water. Let's just call it what it is. That's water that on the outside says hand sanitizer, but you could do the same thing by just rinsing your hands.
You're right. Like, I don't know if that has the effectiveness. Like, with Purell,
that's Aquafina.
I knew it wasn't the same as washing my hands, but let's say washing your hands kills 100% of the germs. It probably doesn't, but follow me.
It does not, but yeah.
I felt like Purell killed like 97%. You know, like, there was a small chance that something could go wrong, but for the most part, Purell protected me.
According to Purell, 99.9.
You're right. This watery hand sanitizer that's floating
trash
kills like 85%.
Maybe
85%. Stay far away from it. We have this hand sanitizer here. It's in like a gel cap. It looks like the same thing that glue comes in, Elmer's glue. I'm telling you, it is one of the more rancid smells. At this point, just go wash your hands. I'd rather go get the Dial soap, the palm olive, whatever I need to do. I much rather use soap. I also didn't appreciate the hand foam nearly as much. The hand foam has been a godsend. You just do that, you can like move and kind of wipe your hands. Your hands are dry in 30 seconds. I didn't show nearly enough appreciation in pre-corona times to hand sanitizer and hand foam.
Oh, I've been all about hand foam since about 2013. It's been about 7 or 8 years. I've been more about the hand foam. The thing that I've appreciated during the corona times has actually been lotion, because I've never been a huge fan of exfoliating or taking care of my skin too much. If it's dry, it's dry. It cracks a little bit during the wintertime. It is what it is. But now that I'm washing my hands 15, 20 times a day, it dries them out. So I agree with you. I've got a new appreciation for your Purell. I've also got a new appreciation for all different types of hand lotion, because I've used more lotion, I would say, since March than I used the other 30-plus years of my entire life.
Another thing I want to show appreciation to, and if you guys have something that over this quarantine and corona time that you appreciate more, let us know. 913-576-7610. I appreciate the skip intro button. We all are watching more television shows than we know during normal times. The times where I would be watching the Royals, I'm now watching a television show. The time where I would have been watching the NBA playoffs, I'm now watching something on Hulu. The difference in the great elite streaming apps and the other ones is the skip intro. I'm here to tell you, I'm tired of the Law and Order intro. I have seen the Law and Order intro probably 800 times in my life. I can't do it anymore. I'm tired of the song. I'm tired of knowing the order in which they introduce the cast members. I can't do it anymore. Hulu needs to introduce a skip intro. That was the best thing that Netflix ever created. Because when you would watch, when you would binge watch House of Cards or Orange is the New Black, I got tired of seeing the same intro and hearing the same song every hour. So they introduced that skip intro. I'm here to show appreciation to the streaming service apps that have the skip intro button. You are the real MVP.
Hulu's the only streaming app that I have. Are they the last one that doesn't offer this service?
They don't have it.
Because I'm sick and tired of that House Hunters music also.
I watch House Hunters
every time I eat. Well, what are they waiting on? Like, I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
If these other services have it, why don't you just steal the idea? You know, I'm not great with technology, like I just said. But the Zoom meetings have changed everything. Have completely changed everything. Like, I used to FaceTime with my niece and nephew, and I would Skype with my best friend out in Myrtle Beach. Maybe it's just the luck of the draw that we've had, because we've done a lot of Zoom meetings here on the show. So obviously I was at home for a couple of weeks and Speck was gone for a couple of weeks. So we've had a lot of Zoom meetings. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we had one issue? Like, I feel like Zoom is a product that it's very hard to have a Zoom meeting and then when it's over with be like, no, that wasn't any good. Zoom's incredible.
No, Zoom is incredible. Zoom actually makes me think about how Skype should have been at the forefront of all of these things.
Zoom took over.
Yeah, I'm saying is
Zoom took over.
I'm saying is, how did this app that none of us knew about in January become now such an important part of our life when all of us have heard of Skype and FaceTime, but they haven't been the key thing?
I think the one thing that changes is when you Skype with somebody, you can see yourself down in the corner the entire time, which is cool enough, but the way that obviously Zoom works is, so let's just say that we're Zooming with, I'm just going to throw a random name, Patrick Mahomes, okay, like you and I did a couple days ago. Pat starts talking, and then we see Pat, and then I laugh at his joke, and then you see me, and then Pat says something. Like, the technology that Zoom has for what it's for meetings, is just about as perfect as I can imagine.
I will say that I think Zoom has shown us during corona times that we were not very time efficient. Meetings that used to take 25 minutes, now you get done in 8. Like, we were wasting a lot of times in meetings before. And I think we see that a lot of the meetings that we had weren't really about anything to begin with. Like we had to have meetings. But now the Zoom time, hey, you get the 3 people on there. Everybody says what they need to say. This meeting should take 10 minutes tops.
The brick and mortar meeting is pretty much done with.
It's over, probably.
Certainly jumping on an airplane and flying to Charleston, South Carolina to meet with a guy about a business deal, that's got to be a thing of the past, right? When the other option is doing that from your living room and hitting connect, like, Zoom's incredible.
I will say this, another thing that I've appreciated during the corona time, Rob and I were talking about this. Now that we don't eat inside restaurants nearly as much as we did, you realize who has a good app, you realize who has a good website, you realize who has a bad app and a bad website. You guys know, when you're looking for the menu or you're looking to order some food and then you type it in Google and then you got to go on their website, you see who's in the 21st century and who's still in the 20th century. You see whose website looks cool and modern and whose website looks like it was made with Windows 95. Nothing has shown us that more over these last couple of months.
That's true, but I can't believe that there are places that are going to make me order online. I know you've come across this where, I mean, I'm driving. I'm on the highway. I'm trying to get myself a couple of tacos, and you're telling me that I got to pull my car over, go to www.whateveryourrestaurantscalled.com and figure out the process and type my credit card order? No, just get the guy from the bar on the phone. Let me get a couple of tacos with an extra side of salsa. I'm with you. Like, there's a clear difference between the restaurants who are ready for all this and the ones that aren't. But the ones that really piss me off are the ones that won't let me order by phone. That's ridiculous.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Coming up next, Washington is changing their football name. Will the Chiefs have to? We'll discuss it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So, I'm sure as you've heard at this point, the Washington NFL team has finally agreed to change the name of their franchise. They have not selected a name yet for various reasons, but today they announced in a press release that they are in the process of changing their NFL team name. Now the focus has moved to the Atlanta Braves. Now, there is some momentum for them to change the name of their team. There is also momentum for them to eliminate the Tomahawk Chop. The Kansas City Chiefs also find themselves in a similar situation. This is where I think the conversation should start. There's always a list and a hierarchy of, I would say, these things that reach the public consciousness. The Washington NFL team name was always at the front. I would say the Cleveland Indians mascot, Chief Wahoo, was always at the front of, hey, these things need to be changed. They have changed Chief Wahoo. They don't use him anymore. Washington's NFL team has now been changed. I do think at some point there is going to be a conversation about the Tomahawk Chop, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Atlanta Braves, the Florida State Seminoles, all of these team names. But I think the next week to 2 weeks are really important. If the Braves decide to keep it, then I think the Kansas City Chiefs will be able to keep it. But if the Braves decide that they're not going to do it anymore, I think you just move down the list, and then the Kansas City Chiefs will, I think, be forced to eliminate that from part of their pregame and during the game ritual.
Yeah, it's awful tough to imagine that the Braves decide, you know what, we're not going to play that drum beat to get the fans amped up to do the Tomahawk Chop. There's also talk from Florida State, who, of course, their fans have long done the Tomahawk Chop also. I mean, if Florida State comes out with a press release and says, we're not playing it, so our students, hopefully, it's not like they're going to completely eliminate it, but they're not going to do it on command like they used to. Same thing with the Braves. And the Chiefs are going to say, nah, we're going to stick with it. At the same time, the Redskins are changing their team name. Yeah, unfortunately for the Chiefs and the Chiefs fans, this is not really a decision that appears to be in their hands, because they're not the only ones that do the Tomahawk Chop. If another pro sports team decides that they're not going to do it, it's hard to imagine the Chiefs will continue it.
And I think there's normally two ways of looking at it. Number one, either there's enough public pressure that gets the people that make decisions to decide it's not worth this anymore. I think if Washington had a different owner, I think they changed the name of their football team years ago, but their owner was so emphatic, we are not changing the name, that if you had a different owner, I think what happened today probably happens in 2014, 2015. We don't get to this point. So either it's enough public pressure where enough people in power say, hey, enough's enough, we're ready to change the name. That's not where we are with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sure, there's some conversations about it. It isn't nearly the public pressure the way that it was for the Washington football team to change their name. Or it's sponsorship dollars. Let's not make it seem like Daniel Snyder woke up one day and was suddenly quote-unquote woke. That's not what happened. It was FedEx came to him and said, we are pulling our money out. Nike said, we are taking your things off of our website. We're not going to sell or promote this anymore. Then ultimately he had to do so. And also the people that had a 40% stake in the team decided this as well. So either there's going to be a situation with the Tomahawk Chop, whether it's in Kansas City or Atlanta, either the public pressure gets too deep, where I don't think we're going to get to that point in Kansas City, because I don't think enough people consider Chief to be offensive. And I don't know if you can consider the word Chief to be offensive, or it's going to be enough public pressure structure where Sprint says, I'm not spending money here. Or Hy-Vee says, we're not spending money here with you unless you do this. Those are the ways that I think the tomahawk chop. I would say it's safe for now, but given the society and climate that we live in, it's always going to somewhat be on notice.
And I actually think that if it got to that point where there was such pressure that the Chiefs, where there was conversation that they were actually going to change their name or get rid of the tomahawk chop, I do think then the money would impact them the same way that it has the Redskins, where you're right. If anybody sees this news today that the Redskins are going to change their mascot and change their logo and change their team name, think, oh, good for Daniel Snyder to finally come along. That's not what happened. What happened, like C-Dot said, is that he faced enough pressure. It wasn't even the pressure. It was the money. Like, eventually, this is how a lot of businessmen operate. You can say what you want about me. You can do what you want to me. But once you start to take away my money, it affects my bottom line. Then I'll finally react. And it feels like that's what Daniel Snyder did. Because the truth is, C-Dot, it's the money that eventually got rid of the Redskins' name. It's also the money that is the reason why Daniel Snyder kept the name for so long. Because if you change the name, then you have to completely rebrand and sell a bunch of new products and get people used to calling them the Red Tails or the Red Hawks or the Red Tubes or whatever you end up calling the team name. So he was going to lose money by changing the team name. You could argue he loses a lot of money because his football team loses a lot of games also, but that's the reason why it took him so long. And then eventually it got to the point where, oh, hold on, FedEx is actually going to pull out, so I'm going to lose money on this. And then he completely took a 180. So I'm not going to give Daniel Snyder any credit today.
I don't even think I don't really think it was a 180. I really don't think he had any other choice. Like, if you're already going to lose as much money as you will based off the virus and fans not being able to be there, are you willing to now lose that Nike and FedEx bag? It ain't that serious. I think what we're seeing is sort of reinforcing what we already knew is the money can either keep you in power or keep you in your position. A lot of times, it's not the quote-unquote cancel culture that gets you eliminated. It's all the sponsors come out and say, hey, we're pulling our advertising dollars. If this person continues to go on air, if you continue to back this person, we will not give you any more money. Or things get changed because, again, those people look at something and say, we're not going to financially support it anymore. But if the money doesn't dictate it, people normally stay the same.
Well, FedEx did support it for a long time. I mean, they're not completely free of blame either here. Now, it's cool that they had some people that stepped up and said, no, we're pulling out. We're taking our money. You got to change it. We're going to take the FedEx name off the stadium if you don't. But it's been called FedEx Field, I believe, since it was RFK Stadium. And it's been like a decade since it was RFK Stadium. So good to finally become quote unquote woke and realize that it's time for change. But FedEx, there are probably a lot of people that should have done this a long time ago.
I don't think that the Chiefs are going to be forced to change their name. I could be wrong, but that's my opinion. I don't think they're going to be forced to change their name. But I could see a scenario, and I don't think it's that unlikely, that a lot of the imagery around the Chiefs and a lot of the traditions around the Chiefs change, whether it's the tomahawk chop, whether it's banging the drum before the start of the game. I could see those things changing before I see the Chiefs' name changing. Like, if anything, I could see their logo changing before I see their name changing. Like, I think a lot of the imagery around them is going to change before I can see the name doing it. And that's where they say, hey, we've changed this thing where we aren't really branding ourselves in sort of Native American history. That's where we think we need to improve.
It feels like, to me, it's an all or none type thing. Now, maybe not all or none, because you're right. They could get rid of the chop and still keep the name and the logo and Arrowhead and all that stuff. But if it goes down the road that you're talking about where they even have the conversation about changing the logo, then it's done. Then you're going to hear, well, they're going to change the name Arrowhead Stadium because that's offensive, and they're going to change the name Chiefs, and they're going to get rid of the logo and all that stuff. I feel like once that can of worms is open, then the Chiefs are probably in a little bit of trouble. I'd be very surprised if it gets that far, because if we're just going to be real here for a second, Redskins is a highly offensive name. It doesn't matter if you're Native American, black, white, woman, male, fat, skinny, old, young. It doesn't matter. The word Redskins is offensive. Inherently, Indians and Chiefs and Seminoles is more of a representation of a group of people opposed to an offensive one. So if anything, the crazy part is, kind of like we were talking about with NASCAR a couple of weeks ago, it took them this long. It took them this long to get rid of the Confederate flag. It really took Washington this long to get rid of the name Redskins. It's crazy.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Speaking of top stories, let's head around the NFL. Chris Jones was on the Twitter. He was tweeting things like this. Vibes are unmatched. What unmatched vibes do you think Chris Jones was talking about on July 11th at 8:50 p.m. What vibes are unmatched?
I would say the vibes that were unmatched would be the vibes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes just got paid. Now he's looking too, and the vibes just aren't matching up with what he's looking for right now.
I mean, I would say those vibes are never going to match up for Chris Jones. Like, you're right. Those things are unmatched. He also said, God, thank you with the praying hand emojis. A lot of people were reading these things and trying to read in between the lines. We saw the report from Jeremy Fowler earlier in the week. It would appear that the Chiefs and Chris Jones are making a little bit of progress.
Now let's go to Chris Jones, another franchise tag situation to watch, because I'm told the Chiefs and Jones have begun talking, which is a big victory because it's been quiet for months on that front. They really had no communication. They've at least started negotiating. The Chiefs got the Patrick Mahomes deal done. They'd like to move on to Jones, who's considered a top three defensive tackle, but that's going to cost them well over $20 million. It's just unclear how far they're willing to go at this point, but they want to keep one of their best players.
Are you becoming more optimistic that a deal could potentially be in place here in the next 2 days between the Chiefs and Chris Jones?
I suppose. I mean, you always tell me deadlines make deals, but at this point, what are we, like 48 hours away from that deadline? So something's got to give. I think that Chris Jones deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's handled this, because as Chiefs fans, it'd be easy to look at any time that he opens his mouth or says something that he's being a malcontent. But the truth is, he's one of the best young, healthy defensive tackles in football. And if this was pretty much any other year or any other team, he would get the money that he's asking for. Frankly, he's worth the money that he's asking for. It's just the scenario that he finds himself in. So I actually think that Chris Jones has handled this to about as close to perfect as possible. Has he been completely quiet? No, but I wouldn't be either. I'd say the chances have gone up from before the weekend. I thought it was like a 10% chance. Now I'm at like 15%. I'd still be very shocked if something happens.
This is where I am with the Chris Jones. If he doesn't come to an agreement with the Kansas City Chiefs here in the next 2 days, then it all but guarantees that he will not be on the team long term. If you look at the history of players who are franchise tag, typically you come to an agreement before the first time that you get franchise tag. That's typically the agreement. You don't get franchise tag the 1 year, play the 1 year under the franchise tag, and then agree the second year before they tag you. It certainly has happened, Eric Berry, but Eric Berry's situation was very different because of cancer and all of those things. But for the most part, once you get franchise tag that first time, that's not the team you come to the long-term agreement with. Like, look at last year. Everybody that got franchise tagged either got traded or came to an agreement before the start of the season. This year, it's been different because of the coronavirus. But right now, none of the players who have been franchise tagged have come to a long-term agreement. Derrick Henry hasn't come to one. Dak Prescott hasn't come to one. We'll see what happens. Justin Simmons for the Broncos, we're looking to see if he signs a deal long-term. He's one of the better young safeties in the NFL. But as of right now, no player who was put under the franchise tag, and I believe there were 14 players who got franchise tag, not a single one of them have come to a long-term agreement. And the only one we look at being more likely to come to a deal as not is Dak Prescott. And that's only because he plays quarterback.
Well, he's also talking about Chris Jones not going to be any cheaper after this year. I mean, let's say that he just goes out and the team goes out and does what they did a season ago. So he goes out there and has double-digit sacks and stays healthy, and the team goes on, wins the Super Bowl. Well, all of a sudden, that price tag that he's been asking for just goes up, up, and up. So, again, the Chiefs, it all comes down to timing. We always talked about with John Dorsey with the long-term contracts, he messed up. He should have signed Alex Smith sooner and Eric Berry later and Justin Houston before. All these big-time contracts often come down to timing. And for the Chiefs and Chris Jones, they basically have 48 hours to decide, is this our guy for the next 4 or 5 years? Because I'm with you. If something doesn't get done by Wednesday, then it's probably not going to happen.
Coming up in just a little bit, there's some funny audio I want to play you guys. I want to read this text message really quick because maybe I'm a bad person to be having this Kansas City Chiefs Washington football team conversation, because I just don't really care about the name of the team. Like, I know in theory I should care about the name of the team, and Washington's different because it's very clearly a slur and the people who are offended by it have tried to explain it to the rest of us time and time again. But we got this text, 913-576-7610. Why the hell would the Chiefs change anything? I'm so sick of this liberal agenda BS. If you change the logo, I'm done. You sound so stupid, dude. I mean this in all seriousness. I do not care about the Chiefs logo, and I do not care what their name is. Tomorrow, if the Chiefs said that we find the warhead and arrowhead to be offensive, we are changing our names, and we are doing an open poll to see what a new name would be for the Kansas City Chiefs, I'd be all about it. I think it'd be kind of cool. Like, this is just one of those things. I'm just not on that side of the fight. There's some things in sport I do care about. There's some things in sports that I'm willing to fight over. Man, the name of your team is just not one of those things that I really care that much about. You know, I'm a big Missouri Tiger fan. Tomorrow, if they said that they want to get a new name and not name themselves the Tiger anymore, I'd be like, cool. All right, let's just find something else. Like, this whole fight to me about getting rid of the war or getting rid of the tomahawk chop, changing the names from Indians, like, it just seems like such a stupid fight to me.
Well, the Tiger's one of the most unoriginal mascots in sports. I think there's like 27 of them in Division I, including three in the SEC. So if the Tigers got rid of that, I'm with you. Come on, get more original. The Chiefs, however, I don't know if you believe what you're saying, if it actually happened. Like, if we found out next year that all of your Chiefs gear is no longer going to be as cool as it was this year, and they're going to have to get rid of the logo.
Why would it not be cool, though? It'd be vintage then.
Oh, like, okay, so like, okay. Well, that's fine. That's fair.
So I'm saying is you're telling me that tomorrow, if they change their name to the Kansas City Monarchs, that your 1990 starter jacket that Marty Schottenheimer used to wear is now just not cool?
All right, fine.
That your jerseys that Patrick Mahomes, like, that's what I mean in this. I just don't care.
No, you're right. The old stuff would be dope. It would be vintage. My old starter jacket
really
would be
cool.
The truth. Yes. But
And then you would cry about it. And then 24 hours later, you would go get the new Patrick Mahomes jersey they told you to buy. You would go get the new Travis Kelce jersey they told you to buy.
I think the only thing that would be cool is what you just said. You could be like, oh, all right, I got all the old gear. Nobody's gonna have this stuff. Besides that, I mean, there's some, what's in a name? I don't know. Somebody smart once said that. What's in a name? Apparently for you, nothing. I'd be pissed. Now, it's one thing if people are offended by it and they come and they say we gotta get rid of it for these reasons and that reason. I'm okay, fine. But if the Royals just decided, nah, we're going to change our name to the Bears, I'd have a major issue with that. I'm a Royals fan. If the Jayhawks all of a sudden said, we're going to name ourselves after a different bird, we're going to become the Ostriches starting in 2026, I'd have a big problem with that. I think you would too.
But I'm a fan of the team, not of the name. Like, maybe that's it. And like, maybe that's the distinction that I make. The Chiefs aren't moving, are they? It'd be one thing if they were moving to Kansas. I'm like, hold on. We're not taking our stadium from Kansas City, Missouri, and now putting this thing in Wyandotte County. That'd be something I'd be willing to fight over.
I would have much less of a problem if they did that and put it in KCK and kept the Chiefs' name than if they kept Arrowhead where it is and started calling them the Warhawks.
Yeah, that's just not my fight then, I guess. Like, the name of the team, the history's still going to be the same, right? Like, Derek Thomas still played for this organization. Patrick Mahomes, it's not like if they change their name to something. It's not like tomorrow Clark just woke up and said, you know what? I think Chiefs is offensive. I've talked to enough people in the in this community that I don't want our team name to be this anymore. We're going to open it up on Twitter, and over the next 2 weeks, we'll find a process of doing a new name. That doesn't void Patrick Mahomes' contract, does it? If it does that, then yes, fight to keep the Kansas City Chiefs. If everything's going to be the same and they're going to play at the exact same place in the exact same city and have the exact same color scheme, I just, again, that's just not a fight that I feel super passionate about. A lot of people feel very passionate. I can't imagine feeling very impassioned about the name Redskins. Like, that part is just so mind-blowing to me. Like, I cannot imagine you were so dedicated to the cause that you are arguing against other people. Like, hey, you know what? This name's kind of offensive. A lot of people are upset by this. Hey, you know what? It's going to be the same football team. We're not saying you got to give your old jerseys or your old memorabilia away. That old jersey that you have, you could keep it. Nobody's saying you can't wear it anymore. We just think it's in our best interest to change the name. I just can't see being very upset about that for too long. As long as everything else stayed the same, I would get over it very quickly.
Yeah, no, not me. Again, if they decided to change it because it was offensive to enough people and they put out the petition that you're talking about, then fine. Like, I'm a human being. I understand that. But if they just up and change the name because they thought Chiefs didn't have the ring, like, it sounds to me like you would almost welcome this. Like, you think that there's something cool about every several years change the name, change the mascot, change the logo. Hell no. To me, there's something cool about sticking with something that's been forever.
But we accept people's name changes all the time. You don't call him Cassius Clay anymore. You call him Muhammad Ali. He woke up one day and decided, I don't want to be that anymore. And then he started calling himself something different.
Was,
and now we all call
again,
him something different.
But again, that's because he was offended and because it was for religious purposes. What do you call Sandstone Amphitheater? Well, called Sandstone.
Yeah, but I mean, now that's a sponsor. That's a very different argument here than one that we're having. Like
You're talking about a human that changed his name for religious purposes, which is totally different because he was offended by something, which is the same thing. Well, the Redskins changed their name. Muhammad Ali didn't just say, I don't like the name Cassius Clay anymore.
That's what happened. He woke up and said, I don't want to be called that anymore.
Why? Why do you do that?
For this reason, I want to be called that.
For this reason. Yes, there's a reason.
I know. So the Chiefs would say, if the owner would say, because of the Native American stereotypes, we now want to change our name.
Correct. That's different.
And then we don't want to bang the drum. We don't want to have war paint walk out here and do all these things. We want to change our name to something that doesn't offend
people. Absolutely. That's completely different.
I just wouldn't have a problem with it.
I wouldn't either. That's what I'm trying to say. Under those circumstances, if they did it for essentially the same reason the Redskins are changing their name, because eventually the outcry got loud enough where enough people were offended and the money was going to be taken off the table, they decided we'll change the name. That's different. If it's not that extreme and all of a sudden my team name just goes, nah, we're cool. We're just going to become the Cubs. We're just going to call ourselves this. Then I have a problem with it. Like, I think there's a lot of people listening right now that have gotten so used to that Chiefs name that it's going to take a lot of public pressure for those people to come to your side, which is, just take the name away. What's in a name? It doesn't matter. Just call them the Kansas City whatevers. They're the Kansas City Chiefs to a lot of people, including myself.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the top story of the day in Kansas City. So you always say that Steve Harvey doesn't really come down very difficult on the people that stink at Family Feud.
Not as hard as you do.
We see celebrities. I mean, to be honest, a lot of the people that go on Family Feud are a lot better at the game than you've been so far during the Google game. So NFL Hall of Famer Bruce Smith, he was on Family Feud. They're doing the celebrity. You know, over the summer, they just have famous people play Family Feud. He gave a very interesting answer.
All right, Bruce, let's go. If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a tent. What the f*** did he say?
You might actually be better than Bruce Smith at Family Feud now that I'm thinking about it.
I didn't think it was a terrible answer.
I mean, it wasn't a good answer.
That wasn't a top five answer?
No, it was not on the board.
Really?
Not at all.
They were talking about replacing tools, and he threw that one out there? I mean, BlueChew.com, one more time. It is BlueChew.com. Just chew it and do it. Yeah, I've heard worse. I've gave worse. That wasn't so bad.
It wasn't good, though.
He came up with a tool.
It wasn't good.
Not one in the toolbox.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good.
No. And, I mean, see, that's the problem with Steve Harvey is, you heard what he did there, right? He moved on to the next like he should. Like, he did the same thing that Drew Carey or Pat Sajak or any of the greats would. But then he realized what the answer Bruce Smith did. And then he came back. He's like, hold on. What the hell did you just say? You're the host. You got to stay in one. You can't be shocked by an answer. That's what happens to you sometimes with the Google game. I say something so stupid, you start beating me down for 5 minutes. That's not the name of the game. Your job as the host is to remain neutral, to stay Switzerland, not to talk down on the answer that he gave, even though that wasn't the first tool that came to mind for me either.
I mean, to be fair, though, he also was in the fast money round. So Steve didn't have a whole lot of time. He had to quickly get in and out in that scenario. Steve crushes them during the regular game when they give bad answers.
You're much closer to the weakest link, lady, is all I'm saying, than you are to Pat Sajak. The only thing Pat Sajak will ever say is if somebody guesses an R, and then a couple minutes later somebody else says R, he'll crush you for that. Like, Sajak, he does not accept that. Double letters, that's where he draws the line. I've never really heard Alex Trebek, like, he'll give a little dig, like a little one, like kind of a corny joke, but Steve Harvey will undress you right in the middle of Family Feud.
Coming up next, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.